to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Trust you've minded the Lord this morning. Be obedient to God. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to ask you to stand with us as we read the scripture. We've been in this passage of scripture off and on for some time, and I want to read all of it today. Last Sunday, I think I just read a couple of verses or so, but I want to read all of it just so we can get the refreshment of the context in our mind. Second Corinthians 4 and verse number 1, the scripture says, verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Hallelujah. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is, in your body right now. And I make this statement and I will read on. There is no such teaching in the scripture of a Christianity that excludes the body. And you won't hear that said in most churches today. They say it's all inward. God is only interested in the spirit. Well, you read the word of God, friend. We have God's plan is to redeem us, our whole body, soul, and spirit. Yes. Amen. When God is done, my total being is going to be saved. My body's not saved yet. Amen. This old flesh is not saved yet, but it will. It's going to be redeemed one day. I'll have a new body fashioned like unto His glorious body. But in the meantime, this body, this old tabernacle, this, as the Bible calls it in verse 7, this earthen vessel houses that great treasure of Christ and the gospel. But here we find that it's God's will to manifest the Lord Jesus, His life, through our mortal flesh, in our mortal flesh. Verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. I want you to pay close attention to these next few verses. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now remember this. The chapter that I'm reading from, the context of it is conflict. Paul is writing as a child of God about the conflicts of life, the adversities of life. And I believe, as I read verse 15, the Lord spoke to my heart, this is why the devil fights God's people so. It's because he does not want people's lives to be affected and changed as a result of your life, God using your life, and the thanksgiving of many redounding to the glory of God. That's why the devil fights God's people, is to shut down that thanksgiving and that glory being given to God. Verse number 16, for which cause? Paul said, that's a cause. Hey, man. Paul said, that's a cause that I'm willing to recognize and receive and stand for. For which cause we faint not. We're going to stay focused on that. We're not going to lose sight of that. That God is working through me to get to others that they might give thanks and glory to God.
Amen. Right.
For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, listen, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What is today? What's today? January what? 18th? Is it 18th? 18th. Day by day. I thought about this morning. What if RBT and those of us that are here and have been listening to these messages, whether it's one of them or all of them, what if we would have already practiced that for 18 straight days? Day by day. The inward man being renewed day by day. No exclusion of days. That means 18 days of that should already be in practice in the year 2015. Are we getting it? Are we getting this series? God is sending us this, and we're going to be held accountable for it.
Right. You're right.
Amen. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we need you today. Lord, we need your touch. We need your power. Lord, we need your presence. And I pray, dear God, that you will speak to us here this morning. God, we pray your will, God, to be done. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, dear God, for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And for our sakes we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for his goodness to us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
We've been dealing with, for I believe this will be message number 9, on the subject of having the inward man renewed. Now before I begin dealing with that, where we are in our series of messages, let me just simply say to you here today that are lost without God, the key to endurance, the key to survival spiritually, is that you have the inward man. The outward man, the nature of it, is to be hooked up with this world and bail out when problems come.
Right.
Amen. But when you get saved, and I'm saying this on purpose because I believe that the devil lies to all lost people. And he'll tell them, Brother Ron, that you can't live it. You get saved, you can't live it. And they probably get that conclusion by looking at a lot of church folk.
Right.
Hello? They probably come to that summary by looking at a lot of church folk that are in, out, up, down, on, off.
Right.
Inconsistent. Testify, shout, and then pout. Amen. Amen. Come on. Love the Lord and then leave the Lord. And they've seen so much of that that they think, well, if church folk can't live it, me as a lost person, I surely can't live it. But I want you to know that when you get saved, God puts His Holy Spirit in you. God puts His nature in you. He puts His spirit in you. He puts His life in you. I would say more than likely, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, most of you in here have a physical life. Unless my eyes are playing games on me. You have a physical life, right? How'd you get that physical life? You got that from a physical birth.
Right.
Wow. A birth produces life, a life that you now have ever since you got it, and a life that you've lived every moment since you've got it. Brother Silas, you have physical life, I assume?
Right.
Amen. Got it at a birth?
Right.
Amen. You didn't evolve?
No.
That's the creation thought of the day?
Right.
Hey, did you get up this morning and say, well, okay, all right. And you're talking to yourself. Okay, now, I'm a human being. I've got human life. Oh, man, I've got to live it today. No, it's automatic. Why? Because he has a human spirit. He has a human nature. He has a human life.
Right.
So it is spiritually when you're born again, you receive a divine nature. You receive God's spirit. And you have God's life. And the result is you live that life. God lives that life through you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's good. But it's good to be in church this morning. And we've been dealing with several things out of this passage of Scripture that I'd like to point out, but I don't have time today. But I want to pick up where we're at. We're on the home stretch. We're fixing to deal with, we're fixing to start on the last point, the last focus, and it's the finish line, it's the highlight, it's the, hopefully it'll be that which will take our focus out of this world to the world unknown, amen. We've talked about in this passage of Scripture, we've talked about the meaning of renewal. We've talked about the must of renewal. We've talked about the maintenance of renewal. To be renewed day by day suggests maintenance. You've got to give attention to your spiritual life. You can't get saved and put your spiritual transmission in neutral and expect to climb the hills of life. No. When you put something in neutral, if there's any declining elevation at all, you are going down. Why? Because there's a law of nature called gravity, and it's going to pull you down. You don't have to make no effort to fall. You don't have to make no effort to hit the ground. You don't have to make no effort to hit the bottom. Nature will do that. This world has got a pull on you spiritually to pull you down. Amen. Amen. If let me say this, if you're not spiritual this morning and your spirituality is your responsibility.
Right.
It's not my responsibility to make you spiritual. I'm glad there was a happy day in my life I learned that. I wish I'd have known that years ago. I thought it was my business to check up on everybody, be the high sheriff of the church and investigate and take joy in telling people I saw you. So what'd that do? Well, it put gray hairs in my temple, give me ulcers, and took some years off of my life. But I realize now that my responsibility is to preach, give you the word of God for which you're going to be held accountable for, and trust God to work it in your heart. Amen. Amen. And if you're not spiritual this morning, which is your relationship to the Spirit of God, spiritual things, amen. If you're not spiritual this morning, amen, it is your fault. Amen. That's right. But we talked about the maintenance of it. We talked about the manner of it, how it is to be done. We talked about the motives of this renewal. Why do it? And we dealt with that. But then we're on the last part of the method. How is it that we're to be renewed? You remember that. That's where we're at in our study. We've talked about the method. Number one, we talked about verse 1. I'm not going to re-preach these. I'm just going to give them to you because I want to get where we are. Okay? The first thing we dealt with in verse 1 was we're renewed by keeping the inward man serving. Verse 1, we have this ministry. Serving. Quitting's not the way to deal with it. Right. Serving. Get involved.
Right.
Be active. Amen. Boy, I see some things I could preach right there, but I'm going to try to contain myself. Not too much, but I'm going to try to. But they're serving. Keep the inner man serving. Amen. You're not spiritual if you're not serving. Keep the inner man, number 2, strong. Verse number 1, he deals with feigning. Feigning is weakness. Keep the inner man strong. Keep the inward man seen. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. God is saying, I want to reveal through you, verse number 10 and 11, the life of Jesus through your body, through your mortal flesh. I want to reveal that. Why? Because sinners is reading your life.
Right.
Amen? You're probably the only Bible a lot of sinners will ever read.
Right.
And I just wonder if there's enough gospel in your life, coming out of your life and how you live and how you present yourself and how you conduct yourself and how you behave yourself and places you go and music you listen to and all of that and many more. I wonder if there's enough gospel coming out of your life that a sinner that lives with you, a sinner that's in the neighborhood, a sinner that's in the school classroom with you, a sinner that works with you, can see enough gospel in your life to bring them under conviction and get saved by the grace of God. Nobody, hello now, help me Lord not to get hung up right here. Nobody ever gets saved until you come in contact somewhere in your life with a Christian. Hello. Amen. Amen. You don't get saved by just wake up one morning and you say, well, I had a dream, or I saw a big light. No, you've got to have a Christian come through your pathway somewhere along the way. Amen. And I believe the reason that the majority of this world's population today, as I speak, is L-O-S-T, lost without God, is because Christians are living such low spiritual lives. I believe that. Hello. And Brother Mark, I don't have to go to a third world country to see that. I see that in churches like I'm preaching in this morning, where people are treating their spiritual life like a toy that they only play with every once in a while. But we need to keep it seen. We need to keep it separated. Well, I didn't get done with that point, but I'm going to have to leave it because I want to get where we're at today. We need to keep it separated. Verse 2 and 3 and verse number 8 and 9. We need to keep it separated from sin. We need to keep it separated from suffering. We dealt with that last Sunday. We need to keep it special. Verse number 7 says that which is in you as a believer is called a treasure. Amen. It's not hard to keep people being spiritual, Sister Hayes, that treats their spiritual life like the Bible calls it, a treasure. Well, I remember dealing with that. That fed me. Still feeding me. Here we are. Everybody ready? We're rounding the last corner, amen, and we're on the home stretch. But it's not going to be a quickie. We need to keep the inward man seeing. We need to keep the inward man seeing. Look at chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at chapter number 4. Amen. Amen, that's right. Look at chapter 5. I just felt a good witness right there. I had to say amen. Chapter 4 and verse number 16. Look at it. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 4. Notice these next two verses. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it's not a period. So the thought continues. Verse 18. While we what? Look. Chapter 3, verse number 18 talks about beholding the Lord. Verse number 17, while we look not at the things which are seen. I have the word look circled. I have the word seen circled. But we look at the things which are not seen. I have that circled. They're temporal. But at the things which are not seen, there it is again, are eternal. A lot of looking going on in this passage. A lot of seeing going on in this passage. Amen. And I want to talk to you today, and I want to start at least. God will help me. I want to just at least start and introduce this last theme. Keep the inward man seeing. Now I want to tell you, folks. Hey, man, boy, this is so big inside of me. I don't know how I'm ever going to get it out. The inward man does not see this world. The inward man, the Spirit of God, the nature of God, the life of God, Brother Craddock, does not look at this world. Oh, yeah, Brother Tim, the Spirit of God inside of you, the inward man never says wow at anything of this world. Preach, preacher, amen. The inward man is never amazed at anything in this that's of this world. The inward man is never attracted to anything of this world. No, the inward man is not to hook you up with this world. That's what the outward man does. That's what the flesh does. Amen. All I have to do is look and see what you're hooked up with. This world or the world to come. And I can tell you which nature you're living after. Say amen right there. Oh, the inward man will never see anything of this world. Amen. Never amazed. Never attracted. Never allured. Amen. No. But I'll tell you, the outward man, the old flesh nature, it looks at this world. The flesh nature says, wow. The flesh nature, the human nature, the earthly nature looks at it and says, yeah, I want to be popular. That's not an agenda of the Holy Spirit, Brother Tim. The flesh nature says, I want everybody to look at me. That's not the nature of the Spirit. But let's flip that around, Brother Fultz. I can preach more on that, but let's flip that around. Though the inward man never sees this world, I'm talking about keeping the inner man seeing. Amen. The inner man never sees this world. Amen. Don't see this world. The outward man sees this world. Right, the opposite is true with the outward man. The outward man never sees the world to come. The outward man never sees anything to get excited about in preaching and going to church and singing gospel hymns, amen, and being active and being involved in spiritual things. Hello, y'all better be ready. Preacher Ackley's come to preach, amen, this morning, amen. I'm telling you, brother, I've spent hours upon hours upon hours upon hours studying, meditating upon this passage of Scripture in these messages. Amen. Why? Because it's feeding me. I need it, but I also know you need it. Amen. The outward man never sees anything of the heavenly. Amen. Never sees anything to get excited about. Never sees anything in the heavenly. Amen. They don't read the Bible. Why? They can't see it. They don't worship. Why? Because they can't see it. They don't walk with God. Why? Because they can't see Him. The outward man, I want to say it again, the outward man does not ever see anything in the heavenly. The world to come. But the point I'm going to labor on in this message part here is the inward man is hooked up with the world to come. Hallelujah. And Brother Tim, I hope I can get it out. The inward man has eyes. The inward man can see. Faith has eyes. Faith sees. Oh, come on now. You say, preacher, you got it. Is that right? Well, verse number 10. Verse number 18 of chapter 3, what did Paul say? But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord? If we can't see that, if that's not available to us, if that's not accessible to us, then how come he writes that God's people are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changed into the same image from glory to glory? And how does it all come about? I mean, he's got your Bible still open. What's that last statement of that verse? Somebody read it. Even as... Say it loud. Even as... Come on now. Surely to goodness you're going to help me preach this morning. We might miss lunch. If I have to do all the preaching, we may be here a while. Even as by the Spirit... That's how it happens. That's the inward man. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord... The Spirit of the Lord's business is to reveal Christ to you. Is everybody paying attention? Amen, bless God. You can play games when you get out of here. Amen, I'm preaching. I don't spend hours in study and prayer to come up here and beat my gums together. Amen. And I'm not a bit afraid to call you out, praise God. Amen. Amen. That's right. God help you for challenging me like that. That's right. Amen. I'm not a hireling, praise God. That's right. Amen. Hey, guess what? Let me just preach right there a minute. You know who's not listening to preaching this morning? I know I ain't doing the best job, but you know who's not listening to preaching this morning? You know who's interested in playing and laughing and joking and piddling around? It's the outward man. And I want to tell you, friend, listen. I want to tell you who's interested in spiritual things. It are those that are saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I don't believe you have to work, pump, prime, pull, push to get a saved person to listen to preaching. Amen. Help us, Lord. God, help us. I ought to preach with blindfolders on. Maybe I can stay focused. I ought to put a camera up here and just let y'all see what I have to preach to. Amen. It's not everybody. I understand that. But anyway, hallelujah. Woo! Son, did y'all feel that? A little gunpowder in the barrel. Won't hurt nothing. It won't hurt you. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. God help us. Isn't that awful? It makes me about half in the flesh. God help us. Amen. Come on now. I need you to help me this morning. I need you to help me this morning. Amen. Need the Lord to help me. And I want you to notice this. Verse number 18, while we look not at the things which are seen. In light of the context, what is that? Troubles. Hardship. Well, look at the verse 8. Troubled on every side. Perplexed. Persecuted. Cast down. Bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord. Those are the things that Paul said. We're not looking at the things which are seen. What are you looking at this morning? Do you have any joy? If you don't have any joy, guess what? You're looking at the wrong things. Stephen was looking at the Savior, even being stoned to death, and went out of here with glory on his face. Even though he was being stoned. You know why? He wasn't focusing on the stoners nor the stones. He had his gaze. He had his focus set on the Lord Jesus. What is your problem? What is my problem? When I get dried up spiritually, it's not amen. It's a looking problem. Keep the inward man seeing. It's in you, Brother Silas. If I had something negative up here and something positive up here, it is your human nature to focus on which one of them? The negative. Brother Mark, you gave an illustration this morning. That woman, whoever it was, said, why don't anything good ever happen to me? Why is everything bad happening to me? Everybody else has got it good, but I don't have it good. Brother Mark said, well, who are they? Everybody's got it good. Who are they? Name one. We could pass the microphone on the front row up this side and down this side if we had the time. Everybody in here has got some negative, something going on in your life. Amen. Somebody's talking about you. Somebody don't like you. You're having some issues at work. Come on. Or your physical's breaking down. Financial problems. Something's going on. But you're in the house of God anyhow. Amen. We come to church, Brother Chris, anyway. Why? Because, thank God, we're needing some help.
Right.
We're needing help from the Lord.
Right.
We're not looking at the things which are seen. You ought to make that your mind up right now. I'm going to quit focusing on what I can see. I'm going to quit focusing on what I can see. What I see in this life, it discourages me. What I see in this life, what I hear on the news, what I read in the newspapers, the majority of the time puts water on my fire. Amen. Amen. I'm going to not look at the things. I'm not going to be focusing on. I'm not going to be gazing at what is going on in this world. Because I'm going to remind myself, Sister Hayes, I'm just a pilgrim, I'm passing through. Amen. I'm a stranger here. I don't belong here. I don't fit in here. This world's not my home. I've been born from above. I've got a new life, a new Lord, and I'm headed for a new land. And this world don't hold nothing for me. Hallelujah. I'm glad that my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We don't look at what we can see. We look at what we can't see. Oh, wait a minute. That don't sound right. Look at what we can't not see. How can you look at what you cannot see? Hello. Keep the inward man seeing. The inward man can see what is not seen. Hallelujah. Boy, if we get a hold of this, we're liable to go, whoa. Amen. The inward man focuses on what cannot be seen by the outward man.
Yep. Right.
Which set of eyes is controlling your life? The physical eyes or the spiritual eyes? Are we listening? Oh, God help us, man, I'm telling you. That word look in verse number 18 means to fix one's eyes upon. It means a gaze, a stare, not a glance, but a gaze. Come on now, parents, let me help you, or let me get you to help me in this illustration. Have you ever talked to your children when they're playing video games? No, correction. Have you ever tried to talk to them when they're playing video games? Hey, Junior. Did you get your clothes picked up? Hey, Junior, did you take the trash out? Can I get a witness from the parents, or are you afraid to?
Yeah, right, amen. That's right.
You know what that's called? A stare.
Right.
We've all done that.
Right.
We've all, something get on our mind, Brother Carroll, or something catch their attention, and we just kind of go out yonder. You can tell by looking at them, they're maybe looking, but they're somewhere else.
You're right.
I see that a lot in church, even. They're looking at me like, and I thought, well, yeah, their eyeballs are up here, but where nothing else is, amen? A stare. Something's got your focus. And you know what, when you're staring at something, guess what, brother? You don't see nothing else. This word look has the idea of a gaze instead of a glance. You know what most people does on Sunday morning? Choir does a good job singing at best. Here's what they do. They'll just throw a little glance heavenward. Hey, man. He understands. He knows all about you. He's willing to help. And some went. But as soon as we dismiss, you're back in a gaze on this world. Oh, I wonder who's going to win the game. I wonder who's going to do this. I wonder how I'm going to get this. I wonder how I'm going to do that. And next thing you know, you're just tunnel vision focused on that. And there goes your joy. There goes church. There goes your help. Let me give you something that hopefully that'll help you at least to go home with it. When I began to study on this about keeping the inward man seeing, I want you to turn back to Matthew 2. I want you to turn back to Matthew 2. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 2. We have classically illustrated in chapter 2 of Matthew from the wise men that come from the east. In verse number 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, now I want you to note this, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Look at verse number 2. Now keep in mind now, I don't have time to go back and deal with this. Keep in mind, these wise men had been in this journey for some year and a half minimum. And possibly even 2 years. How do you know? Because when they finally come into verse number 11, into the house, the Bible said they came in and saw the young child. Not baby, a young child, anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years old. These wise men came, verse number 2, and said, where is he? Note that. I'm going to deal with that in just a minute. They didn't, well, let me just deal with it right now for a second. They did not ask when they come in there that day. They did not come in and say, is he? They come in and said with a fact, where is he? Wait a minute. They've not seen him. They've not seen him. Or had they? They did not see him with their physical eyes, had not laid eyes on him until verse number 11. But the inward man, had saw the Savior being born, and the star led them to him. And they came in with assurance, where is he? That wasn't a question of facts. That was a question of finding. We know he's here. We know he's here. Have you seen him? Not with the fleshly eyes, but with the spiritual eyes, faith eyes, we've saw him. He's here. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Amen. Well, that's good right there. That helped me. Yes, sir. They come in and they wanted to know, where is he? Not has he. Or is he, but where is he? A statement of fact. Here, what's this? Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered, come on now, watch this. There's some more wise men fixing to show up. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Guess what another name is for those chief priests and scribes? That was Herod's wise men. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about keep the inner man seeing. Those other wise men that come from the east saw before they ever got there. Saw before they ever saw him with their physical eyes. They saw him spiritually. They saw him scripturally. It was a reality to them before they ever saw him in the flesh. In verse 11. But Brother Webb, Herod's men, wise men, they also knew the scriptures. Did they not? Who was it? Can I ask you something? Who was it that quoted verse 5 and 6? Who was it? when he called those chief priests and scribes together, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Y'all see that? Brother Yarnell, do you see that? They knew the scriptures. But they had no eyes, Brother Brian, to see it. Watch this right here, Brother Rob. Where did the scripture say he was going to be born? In Bethlehem of Judea. You know how far away that was? 5 or 6 miles. Jesus Christ had been born into this world 5 miles away for 2 years. And they didn't even know it. Boy, when I saw that, I'm telling you, I saw a bunch of church folk right there. They know the scripture. You know the facts. You know what the Bible says. Might could quote it. Might even could turn and read it. But you don't see it. Jesus was 5 miles away. I'm not in good shape, but I could probably make that journey in just an hour or two. Do you know why? Jesus Christ was real 5 miles away, but there was no reality of Christ in them. You know why? They had no faith. They had no inward man. They had no inward life. Nothing to let them see. But yet those other wise men, Brother Chris, right the opposite. They saw 2 years earlier, went, listen, I forgot how many miles it was. Seemed like, I wish I'd have wrote that down. I know I've got it here somewhere if I could see it. How far they come. I'm going to have to find that. But my memory, if my memory don't fail me, it was something like 500 to 600 miles. And they didn't have four-wheel drives, and they didn't have trains and planes. You know what? They had to hoof it. Either their hoofs or camel hoofs. Amen. Took them 2 years, but you know what? What kept them going through the deserts? What kept them going through the darkness of the night? Was the reality that the Savior was born in Bethlehem, and we have seen it. Hey, man, I don't know if you're getting that or not. But right here you have both sides. You have the wise men that inwardly saw through the scriptures. See, that's what faith sees. Here's your saying. Lord, give it to me the other day. Faith sees what the scripture says. Faith sees what the scripture says. When the Bible says it, faith, it's real to you. How many of you knows what faith is? Let me turn to Hebrews 1 right quick. Help us, Jesus. Hebrews chapter number 11. The great faith chapter of the Bible. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Everybody there? I tell you what y'all do. Y'all bring your Bible to church. That is our textbook. Amen? I'd say, Mr. Paul, so you're a teacher. Y'all frown on kids coming to church, coming to school without their books. Is there some kind of a penalty, or they get in trouble if they leave their books at home? Oh, they do. Wow. Reckon we ought to bring that into church? You lose points if you don't come to church with your Bible. Amen. Look at verse number 1, Hebrews 11. Now faith is, not was, faith is right now. Same faith Paul operated with is still active, still in operation for Brother Tim, Brother Silas, me, you, all of us, all of God's people. Faith is. Now faith is the, what is the next word? Wait a minute. Faith, spiritual, is considered to be substance. Well, substance. That word substance means assurance, reality, confidence. Faith is the confidence. Faith is the assurance of. Faith is the reality of. Hey, wise men, why have you come 500 or 600 miles or so? Well, amen, over a course of 1.5 to 2 years. Because the Savior being born in Bethlehem was a reality to them. Did you know you'll never get excited about what's not real to you? You know why you can go to the ball game and hoop and holler and cut flips and come to church hoarse? And you come to church and unto God, you can't hardly keep your eyes open. You can, hello, everybody read my lips? You cannot get excited about what you don't see. Amen. You can't get excited about what you don't see. Let me reverse that. You're excited about what you do see. Yeah, that crowd through church like this right here. Soon as you're dismissed. The magic alarm clock. Wow! Dismissed. Whole time preaching's going on. Come on, preacher. Yeah. Amen. Amen, Preacher Rackley, that's right. Faith is the substance. Let me ask you something this morning. We'll be done in a little bit. Where's the reality of your spirituality? Right. And by the way, if it's real in you, it's going to be real outside of you. Does anybody see the reality of what you claim to have? Amen. Brother Silas, now listen to me. Listen, I'm trying my best to help you. What keeps me going, Brother Rob, is what's real to me. If my salvation, my call to preach, the Word of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and a number of other things I could add to that list, if that weren't real to me, I would have never made it this far. You, many of you sitting here today, you would have already been a spiritual casualty. You would have already been out of the race. You would have already been by the wayside. But what has kept you going, amen, was not the sunshiny times. What kept you going, sister, amen, Sister Tara, what is it that keeps you going? Truth and the reality of it. What God has done for you, God saving you, is real to you. Is a... Folk, can you get excited about a salvation that's not real to you? You know why I get excited about me being saved? It's because it's real to me. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait, ladies and gentlemen, till I get to heaven to get excited about heaven. Why? Because it's real to me. Faith, look at it. Faith is the substance, the reality, the confidence, the assurance of what? Of things hoped for. Future, expected. Look at this. Get strong. Faith is not only said to be substance, but faith is also said to be evidence. Faith is the evidence of things. Come on, what is it? What's it say, Brother Tim? The evidence of things. Brother Tim? Not seen. Faith is the evidence. But Bob, you're in law enforcement. Brother Long Arm over here of the law used to be. Brother Clepper, you did investigation in your time, didn't you? But Bob, you ever done? I know you've done some too. What do you look for in an investigation? Oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. You look for evidence? Look for facts? Look for something that's going to prove the case.
Right.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen. If I would have thought, and I would have brought. How many's got a title to your car or truck or something at home? Got a title? Raise your hand. Oh, you do. If you were to have brought that title, or if I had brought my title of my car or my house or whatever to church today, I wouldn't have to open the doors up, Brother Chris, and run my Subaru out back in here. Of course, it's, well, amen, I ain't going to deal with that. For to prove to you that I've got a Subaru out back. If I don't see the Subaru, preacher, I'm not going to believe it. All I'd have to do is to bring that deed in here, that title. Say, look it right here. It's got Barry Rackley's name on it. It's got the Subaru Outback, serial number, identification, and it says it is mine. That's what the word evidence right there is. It means a title deed. Glory to God, does that not fire you up? Your faith is the title deed to what is not seen. My faith is a title deed to heaven. I've not seen heaven, but oh, it's real. Why? Inside, faith sees the reality of it. I've never seen the Lord, and neither have you. But oh, is He not real? Thank God, is He not real? I've never seen the Lamb's Book of Life, but oh, is it not real that our name, we that are saved, is there? How could that be possible, preacher? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And I say it, and I'm closing with this. Those wise men that come from the east had saw in the Scriptures, before they ever saw in the flesh, that Jesus was born. And when they got there, I say it again, Brother Craig, when they got there, they went in and said, "Where is He?" We've not seen Him with the eyes of the flesh, but we have seen Him with the eyes of faith. Where is He? Thank God He was real to them. Can I ask y'all something before we close? Where's the reality? Where's that realism of spiritual things to you? That's what I'd like to know. That's what I'd like to know. Brother Buster Mullins, there ain't a better preacher in this world, as far as I'm concerned. He's going to give you the book, like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it. He's going to give you the book. That's what I like about him. He's going to tell me the truth. I want a doctor to tell me the truth. I want a mechanic to tell me the truth. Amen. I want a preacher to tell me the truth. He told me the other day, he said, "Preacher," and he's been at that church probably close to 30 years now, he said, "Preacher, we need revival. And there's not a pulpit in this country, I guarantee you, gets any more truth across it than that one." And he said, "Preacher, we need revival." He said, "People just sit there. No matter what I preach, no matter how rich it is, no matter how deep it is, no matter how wonderful it is, no matter how scriptural it is," he said, "they just sit there." I'll tell you what that is. That is the outward man controlling people's lives, and therefore the reality of the spiritual and the reality of the scriptural is not there. And I want to say it again loudly on the tape. You will never ever get excited about what you cannot see. If you don't see it, you will not. Amen. If you don't see it, you will not get excited about it. Let me give you this right here. Write this down. I about forgot this. I'm just going to give you this. Talking about those wise men that come from the east. Them seeing, them eye, the eyes of faith that saw what the scripture said gave them expectation. They expected before they ever left where they were at, made that long journey. They expected when they got there, we're going to find him. Where is he? He's here. He's here. We've got the reality of it in our spirit because the scripture said it. Hey, he's here. Gave expectation. Number two, it gave them an exit. You know why they left from where they were? You know why they left from where they were? I'll say it again in case you didn't get it. You know why they left from where they were? They were being drove and driven and led by reality of Jesus on up ahead. Sister Hayes, how many people in church today are still where they were last year spiritually? Year before last, spiritually, some never see any growth. Never see any growth. Amen. Amen. I wonder about that sometimes. Devil tries to defeat me with it. Amen. Even some folk here, I wonder about you sometimes. Get all the preaching that comes through this pulpit. And not just from me, but anybody that I bring in here, they're going to be right. And then it seems like just... your life never changes. Seem like there's no spiritual progression. Seem like there's no spiritual advancement. You just kind of, okay, preacher. Bless me if you can. Where's the reality of the spiritual in you? Do you not see it? Do you not see it? Man, alive. Well, amen. Anyway. It gave them expectation. It gave them an exit. They departed. It gave them an endurance. There it is. I knew I had it. But I had it wrote down. Between 500 and 1,000 miles was what their journey was. It gave them endurance. You know what's going to keep you from quitting? It's not how much money you got. It's not what kind of car you drive. It's not who you know. You know what's going to keep you going in the hard days that's up ahead? The reality of your spiritual life. What you can see spiritually. What's real to you spiritually and scripturally. It gave them endurance. Verse number 10, it gave them excitement. Oh, that's what I've been preaching, son. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It gave them excitement. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you, I hate dead religion. I do. I despise it. I hate wildfire, too. We don't have to have neither one. Both of them's a ditch. But I'm going to tell you what, we can be excited about the things of the Lord. Amen. RBT, we need to be excited. We need to be excited about spiritual things far more and above than we are excited about anything else. What lights your fire? What gets you stirred up? Huh? Well, it gave them their excitement. Verse number 11, you know what else it worked in them? Verse number 11, it worked exaltation in them. The Bible said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we are come to worship him." You know what, faith? You can't worship Jesus if he's not real to you. And the outward man will never see him. The inward man sees the Lord. He's real to me now, Brother Klepper. When the choir sings and the special numbers sing and the youth choir sings and the ensemble sings and, hey, it's real to me what they're singing. When we sing our spiritual anthem, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind. Now I'm found." That's real to me. That's real to me. I tell you what some of you need. And at times we all need. We need a revival of reality. That's right. Most people, come on now, I'll be done in a second when the Lord's done. Most people come to church. We have revival meetings. We got one coming up, by the way, three nights. Brother Eddie Davis is going to be with us, and it's in your bulletin. God worked that out, amazingly, but God worked that out. And Brother Davis done told me, he sent me a text, he said, "Preacher," he said, "God's in it. God's done a working on his end for us. We better make sure God's working on our end before we get there." But you can have revivals. You can bring in the best preachers in the country. You listen, amen. But you know what it does? Most revival meetings, and I preach several a year, but you know what most of them does? Trying to get people's head up, trying to get their focus away from their troubles and get their focus on the Lord. But then they don't change nothing in their life. They still feed the flesh. They still follow the flesh. And guess what happens to the revival, Brother Tim? In a short period of time, it's gone. Girls, I took y'all to youth camp, and some of the others scattered through here, girls and boys. We've took y'all to youth camp for years, and we have our own now. We're going to have our second one this year. This will be our third. Thank you for the correction. I just see if you're paying attention.